Okay, so the mic's on. Praise the Lord. All right, brothers and sisters, today we're not going to go fast. We're going to take our time because I want everybody to take notes. We have decided as a SAS group that we are going to travel through the entire book of Revelation, one chapter at a time. Amen. And so I have the honor and the privilege of presenting chapter one to you. And I'm going to ask that you would please take notes. I don't know if you, like me, sometimes you wish you could go back to high school and take a class or a subject over. Am I the only one who's ever thought like that before? Huh? I guess I am the only one. Huh? Yeah, I'm the only one that's ever thought like that. You know, I wish I could take trigonometry all over again because my daughter's going through some math stuff right now, war. She's got a book, it says, Algebra's Got Problems, and I said, it sure does. Algebra's Got Problems. And so I'm giving you an early warning that we're going through chapter one this week. Next week, we'll be going through chapter two. The following week, what comes after two? So if you want to understand Revelations a little bit better, if you just want to get a refresher course, tune in or just show up. I don't know how far we'll get in Revelation chapter 1, but it is not my intent to quote-unquote finish, but it's my intent that you understand what we go through. And please understand that Revelation is a book that there is so much in there, brothers and sisters, that we cannot go through extensively every chapter the way we would like to go through every chapter. But we do plan on in the future taking it a little bit more methodical in kind of picking it apart. But today we're just going to hit what we can in Revelation chapter 1. And again, you know, trying to figure out what to say and what not to say I don't want to say it's a burden, but it's tough. But at the same time, it's God who controls the service and the order of service. Amen? Amen. And so as I prepare, as I speak, I pray that you would pray. I'm pretty sure that those of you who have ever studied with individuals should understand this concept that when you begin to read Revelation or Daniel, Satan attacks. Whenever you begin to start that study with someone, I don't know if you've ever started a study with someone or done a study with someone, but something always comes up or something always happens. I've seen it all the time. Something happens. And so I'm going to ask you to take notes. I'm going to make it extremely simple for you to answer all the SAS questions next week. Amen. Extremely simple. Because I'm going to pray that the Lord give us wisdom and knowledge to break it down. Now, I'd rather see the PowerPoint than myself on the screen, but it's okay. If we can't get it up, it's all right. That means the Lord wants us to listen intently. As he says at the end of every dispensation to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, he who has ears to hear, finish that, church. You did not finish that verse, but it's okay. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. With that said, let's go ahead, have a word of prayer, and jump into our study for this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say yet again, thank you. Thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we approach your throne. Lord, in humility and understanding that, Father, you gave us Jesus because you love us. And the world has greatly misunderstood, Father, who you are. There are many in this world who do not understand how much you love us. There are many who do not understand even the book of Revelation. And every week, we run into someone who says, you know what, I don't understand this book. Can you help? Father, I pray that as we, Laodicea, Seventh-day Adventists, begin to go through Revelations, that, Lord, we would put aside that Laodicean mindset of that we know all things and we know everything. Because sometimes, Lord, we can shut our mind off to simple truths. In fact, in the book Christ Object Lessons, we are told, speaking of the parables of the seed and the sower, that it is such a simple parable but that many pass over and they do not read in depthly, even though at the end of the verse of the parable, Jesus himself says as well. He who has ears, let him hear. Father, I pray that we would not take for granted anything that is of a repetitious nature that we have heard before. And again, Father, I pray that you would be with my tongue, be with my heart, be with my mind. Father, I ask for forgiveness for anything that I may have done, said, or thought that was not pleasing in your sight, that your word would not be hindered from going forth. We understand that we are reading the book of Revelation. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bind the hands of the enemy, that you would help us to focus, and that we would put our hearts and our minds upon you. We thank you so much for this wonderful hour of SAS. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, it does not look like the PowerPoint is going to be working, but that is okay. As I said, we're going to be starting off in Revelation chapter 1. So please open your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 1. And to start us off, yes, I'm going to read that whole chapter. And I'm going to ask you to do something that's not done too often, but I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word as we read Revelation chapter 1. It'll help you stretch. I'm going to pray that in my mind that God would help us to focus. Revelation chapter 1. Are we all there? Last book of the Bible. The word of God says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, whom is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. You may be seated. It's okay, brother. It's all right. I don't even want to fiddle with it. So here we have, brothers and sisters, our introduction to the book of Revelation. Now, the book is called Revelation. It is actually the revelation of who? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Many people say it's the revelation of John, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we can understand this in two ways. You can say it as to put forward that Jesus is about to reveal something, or Jesus is the something that is about to be revealed. Did that make sense? Okay. It's almost like Jesus is the one who has a basket with a lid on it, and he is going to open the basket to reveal himself. Did you hear what I said? So we can understand it again as Jesus revealing something, or Jesus is the something that is to be revealed in the book. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 1. Let's start in verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he has sent and signified them by his angel unto his servant John. First thing we have to understand, I forgot it's not up there, that Revelation is a time-sensitive book. So point number one, if you're writing it down, please write your stuff down. It is a time-sensitive book. Revelation is a time-sensitive book. When you come to study Revelation, there are three methods of study that are very popular in the world, but one that we as Adventists, as Protestants, use. The first method of study is known as preterism. If you know what that is, please raise your hand. Preterism. And you want to understand these terms because when you understand these three terms that I'm going to share with you, when you're sitting down and you're talking with someone or you're giving a Bible study or you're discussing something with someone, you will understand what is coming to their mind as they read Revelation or how they begin to perceive things. So the first thing is preterism. How do you spell it? P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-M. Preterism. And the definition is a Christian view that interprets prophecies of the Bible as events which have already happened. I'm going to repeat that. Preterism is a Christian view that interprets prophecies of the Bible as events which have already happened. Last time. Preterism is a Christian view that interprets prophecies of the Bible as events which have already happened. So preterists believe that the events in Revelation have already what? Taken place. That's preterism. Okay, number two. The second one is called futurism. It's called futurism, F-U-T-U-R-I-S-M. It's S-A-S, right? This is class, futurism. What is futurism, Brother Joseph? It's a Christian view that interprets the books of Revelation and Daniel as future events, distant future events, in a literal, physical, and apocalyptic and global context. I'll repeat that. Futurism is a Christian view that interprets the books of Revelation and Daniel as future events in a literal, physical, is everybody there? Apocalyptic and global context. The name explains itself. Amen? Futurism. Futurism, last time, is a Christian view that interprets the books of Revelation and Daniel as future events in a literal, physical, apocalyptic, and global context. What was the first view? What was the first way individuals interpreted? Somebody give me the first one. Preterism. And the second one, we just learned it. What was it? Futurism. The third final method, the method that we use as Protestants, is known as historicism. 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 H-I-S-T-O-R-I-C-I-S-M. Historicism. What is the name of that view I said? Historicism. Biblical historicism is a theological belief that the fulfillment of biblical prophecy has taken place throughout history and continues to take place today. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to repeat it. Biblical historicism is a theological belief that the fulfillment of biblical prophecy has taken place throughout history and continues to take place today. That is what we believe. Amen? Some of us are confused. That is what we believe. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. One more time. Historicism, and please, thank you for saying that. If you need to repeat it, please let me know. Like I said, I'm not into finishing right now. I just want to make sure we understand. Amen? Amen. Historicism, biblical historicism, is a theological belief that the fulfillment of biblical prophecy has taken place throughout history and continues to take place today. All right. With that said, there's something I want us to see that I don't have the PowerPoint, but I want you to get this. Let's look back at Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 again. Starting back over, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I want you to notice the order that it is given in. God the Father gives it to who? Who is him? No. It's to Jesus. All right. God the Father gives it to Jesus. Let's read it back over. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Let's stop. God the Father gives it to who? Jesus in turn gives it to who? Let's go back. God the Father gives it to Jesus. Jesus gives it to the angel. The angel then does what? Gives it to John. Now, there's a word that is in that verse. Amen. The word is signified. It is given differently to John. You see, when it is given from God to Jesus to the angel, hey, all are on the same page, amen? But when it is given to John, it must be what? Signified. Write that word down. We're going to find out what that means. The word signified. The word signify simply means, I'll give you a chance to write down signify. The word signify simply means to make known by sign or words. Did you hear that? To make known by sign or words. So here we have very early on in the Bible, God telling us in Revelation chapter 1 that Revelation is full of what? Signs. Isn't that amazing? So to take the entire book literal is what? It's wrong. I want you to see that very early on, God is showing us how we even study the book of Revelation. Very early on. He said he signifies it. So John, guess what? You know, prophets, they got to watch awesome movies directed by God. Amen. Directed by God. Isn't that something? So he's like, John, get your popcorn ready. I'm about to show you something. And Hollywood ain't got nothing on God's visions. Because when I read Spirit of Prophecy and I read about how Sister White, she writes about heaven, Lord have mercy. Y'all know what I'm talking about, huh? That big long table spread out for all of us. Woo. I can smell the fruit right now, amen? So I want you to think, no wonder when you read through Revelations, there's all this symbolism, right? It was meant to be that way. It was meant to be that way. It was purposefully done. That's what we have to understand. It was purposefully done. Now, let's keep reading verse 2 and then verse 3. Verse 2. It says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. We're going to come back to this verse a little later on in our study. Verse 3. What's the first word in verse 3? Blessed. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and what's the next thing? Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Three things can be found connected to the blessing of reading the word. What are the three things that we saw? Someone give me one, the first thing we see that is connected with the blessing, according to verse number 3. I just need the first one. Someone please give me the first one. You have to read it. Amen. What is the second? Hear. Is it just me? And I heard that. You know, my mom and dad used to tell, are you listening to me? What does that mean when they would say that? Or they say, if I have to repeat myself. Anybody else, mom? I guess I'm the only one that grew up a sinner. Lord, thank you for dying for me. So when your parents said, Joseph, are you listening to me? Is that just a shallow ho-hum listening? No, that's a mean you better pay attention to tonight. You're going to get your hide's going to be tan. And I already got a tan, so I don't need any more. But it means pay attention. Amen? So the first one was what? Read. Second one was? The third one was? What does that mean? Obey. Go to James 1:22. Someone please praise the Lord. We got class today. I need somebody to take this mic around. And who would like to read James 1:22? James 1:22. My wife raised. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Class, she's pregnant. My wife could be. We could have a baby at any minute. I'm going to tell y'all right now. Yeah, at any minute. She told me last night, she said, babe, you sure you don't want to call for a backup for SAS just in case? Yeah. James 1:22, sweetheart, please read.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
All right, so be ye what of the words? Be ye doers of the word and not just what? Hearers only. So be ye doers of the word. And not just hearers only. So, in other words, when you read it, the blessing comes. Yes, when you read it. Yes, when you hear it, you're listening to it. I understood that. But you also must what? Do it. You must do it, okay? So the weatherman says that it's going to rain in Bakersfield, California. You laugh. Bakersfield rain. Lord, Jesus will come before that happened. And so you go outside, you got your tank top and your shorts on and your basketball. This is a true story. And you driving to Silver Creek Park in your Mustang with your brother Christopher. I'm talking about myself. And you get out to play ball and the wind's blowing and it's freezing and you balling your head off, but you freezing cold because you didn't listen to the weatherman. And you didn't react. You didn't bring a jacket. You didn't bring anything. And so after the game, you driving and it's cold. You got the heater on and your brother's making fun of you and laughing at you the whole time. Brothers and sisters, the blessing is to those that do all three. Amen. That do all three. The blessing is to those that do all three. Continuing. Oh, the blessing. All right, this is from Let me see if I got the quote. Give me 1 second as I get this for you. All right, so you can find this in Manuscript Releases, 18 Manuscript Release, page 24 in paragraph 2. Now, I want you to understand this. This is a blessing to those who read it, correct? Now, I've read this quotation many a times, but something really stuck out to me when I read this quotation this time. It's very powerful, and I believe you can find it in Testimonies, Volume 4 as well. It's either Volume 2 or Volume 4. I'll have to get that to you for those of you who would ever want notes. Please listen to this quote, okay? You've read it before, but I want you to understand a point. It says, when the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, and I believe Justin read this last week. It says, when the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. They will be given such glimpses of the open gates of heaven that heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop. Did you catch that last part? I'm going to start over because I didn't finish the whole quote. What does Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, say? Paragraph 1. When the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced in his people, I'm going to read now back over what I just read. When the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. They will be given such glimpses of the open gates of heaven that the heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop. Are you telling me that my character development is directly linked with understanding Daniel and Revelation? Isn't that powerful? Did you heard that too? Let me finish the rest of it, and we're gonna pull out these 3 points real fast. It says, in order to realize the blessedness, which is to be the reward of the pure in heart, the Lord will bless all who will seek humbly and meekly to understand that which is revealed in Revelation. This book contains so much that is large with immortality, and full of glory, that all who read and search it earnestly receive the blessing to those that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. One thing will certainly be understood from the study of Revelation, that the connection between God and his people is close and decided. 3 things. Happen when we read the book of Revelation. We read them. It's just reading it verbatim. Number one, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. Luke 22, keep your finger in Revelation. Luke 22, 32. And can we have another reader, please? Luke 22, 32. If you want to read, please raise your hand. Luke 22, 32. Thank you, Brother Mario.
But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Amen. In that verse, when you have returned to me, what is the word that I'm looking for? When thou art converted, return to me. So point number one, it says believers will have an entirely different religious experience. We need to be converted. Amen. Amen. We need to be converted. Point number two, it says they will be given such glimpses of the open gates of heaven. They'll be given a glimpse of the open gates of heaven. 1 Corinthians, let's get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I believe it's verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The word of God says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But verse 10 says this, but God hath what? Let's read verse 10 together, everyone, please. I want to make sure everybody's following along because we just read. Point number two was this, they will be given such a glimpse of the open gates of heaven. This is in connection with the transformation or the growing of character, amen? All right, so I want to make sure we understand it. So we just read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It tells us, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the hearts of men that which the Lord hath in store for us. But then we jump to verse 10, and verse 10 says, but God hath done what? He has done what to it? He has revealed it. It says, unto us by his what? Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That verse almost sounds exactly like it's harping to Revelation, does it not? It sounds like it's directly connected because it is a revealing, amen? Let's go back to Revelation. And the third thing real fast, Revelation chapter 1. The third thing, let me repeat those three things over one more time. It says believers will have an entirely different religious experience, point number one. Point number two is they will be given such a glimpse of the open gates of heaven, not the closed ones, but the open ones, amen? And point number three says that heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop. These three things happen. Number three, the heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop. The heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop. The heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop. And last time, the heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop. I hope you're not bored. I'm just wanting to make sure you understand it. I want to make sure we understand Revelation, amen? Because every week, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth. Every week, in at least one of my big group studies, someone will come up to me and say, Joseph, I do not understand the book of Revelation. I don't understand the book of Daniel. They say, you know what, I understand this, I understand that. And I say, you know what, I'll study with you, let's go over it. Continuing. Character development. This is found in the Nebraska Reporter. Has anybody ever read that one before? I thought I had read just about everything. I had never heard of the Nebraska Reporter. And I don't have the page number. I'll have to get it for you. But it's found in the Nebraska. Let me see. Hi, Nebraska Reporter, February 28th, 1905, paragraph 12. It says, let us consider more diligently and carefully the work of character building. When Jesus was working at the carpenter bench, some of his associates would sometimes deride him because he took such pains with every single detail. If the parts of what he was making did not fit perfectly, he would put more work on them. Some thought such scrupulous care was needless, but thus Christ was teaching us the need of striving for perfection in all that we do. Our work is to be done so carefully that God can say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, have mercy. Whew. That's profound, isn't it? That's profound. Can you imagine if Jesus cooked a dinner for you? Remember, he said, he's going to serve us. Can you imagine that? You know, I told you before, we're a microwave generation. We want things done now, right? Can you imagine ordering a chair from Jesus? Whew. And then inspecting it? If God is the inspector of our characters, how detailed is God's inspection? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I need to be hidden in Jesus Christ. I need to be hidden in Christ. And can Jesus do the work? If he's that good, can he do the work on us to get us where we need to be? Yes, he can. But we must be willing. We must be willing. This is Christ's Object Lesson, 69. It just says, Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It goes on to say, it is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, where all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last great harvest would be ripened and Christ would come to gather the precious grain. In other words, brothers and sisters, Revelation, the book of Revelation, prompts us to character development. You ever looked at it that way? The book of Revelation prompts us to character development. It's hard to see, but it prompts us to character development. No wonder we read, Sister White says, when the books of Daniel and Revelation are more better understood. Brief recap. 3 points to remember that we just went over, worded differently. Number one, Revelation is written in signs. It's very symbolic. That's point number one. Point number two, we read it in verse 3. A blessing comes, but you must have a willingness, brothers and sisters, to follow what is revealed. Amen? We must have a willingness to follow what is revealed. When I study with individuals who want to know more about the book of Revelation, I let them know. I said, do you really want to know what it says? Do you, if it's shown to you, will you do it? Will you do it? Because God does God want to doubly condemn people? Does God want to destroy people? No, he doesn't. And God will literally cover the spiritual eyes of some. True story, I told you before, when I first came into this faith, I did not know who Sister White was. Because I was warned against quote-unquote prophets when I was a little boy, growing up. And so God knew my heart and he knew where I was. And so even though I was in a Seventh-day Adventist church and I was listening to messages, it was almost like I didn't hear who it was or who she was or who they was talking about. I couldn't hear nobody talking about no prophet in the church or a prophet of the church or nothing. And I was in the church for over a year. But every time Pastor Marlon Canitta would put a quote up on the screen that I thought was, I could not believe there were writings like that. I was like, the people or the men who wrote that are extremely profound. The statements, without me knowing who it was that writ them and what we thought or believed, the statements were hitting home, and I was like, I'm taking that and I'm keeping that for myself. A whole year and a half passed, and I finally read my first Steps to Christ, like I told you. Blew me away. Long story short, God approached me that way, kept my eyes blind, because Joseph would have had a bias when he began to study, but because it was done the way God did it, there was no bias, and I was able to discover from line upon line, like, wow, that's amazing, that's amazing, that's amazing. And almost like the blinders were taken off. God is a good God. God is an amazing God. He is an amazing God, brothers and sisters. Point number one, I said Revelation is written in signs. Point number two, we must have a willingness to follow that which is revealed. And point number three, we must use the historicism method of study. Did we get that? Did we get that? All right, continuing. When we get, let's read verses 4 through 8. Verses 4 through 8. And we're going to see something in verses 4 through 8. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Verse 4, it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Write it down, verses 8, 4 through 8. Verses 4 through 8 are an overview of the entire book of Revelation. They touch the entire book of Revelation. It is a brief overview. Let's pinpoint this out and let's show this going line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen? Let's go to Revelation. Let's look Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 one more time. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. Let's look at it real fast. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. When you're there, please say amen. I don't want to be going too fast. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. Remember, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 are an overview of the entire book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5, to the seven spirits, the seven spirits. Listen to what it says. The word of God says, it says, and out of the throne proceedeth lightning and thunders and of voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Let's go back to chapter 1. Now, if you want to learn more about the seven spirits, I'm going to encourage you to read Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Matter of fact, let's go there real fast. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And you can study this on your own time, but I want to give you something to take home, okay? Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And if anybody is wrestling with understanding of the Holy Spirit, this is a very good chapter. I would start in chapter 10, and I would start from verses 20, all the way down to the end of that chapter, going into chapter 11, because verse 20 of Revelation 10 begins with the remnant of God. We know something about a remnant? Amen. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 1. And you could continue reading that chapter. And I would encourage you to go through and study, not just verses 1, 2, but you want the whole chapter. But you want to highlight verses 1, 2, 3, and possibly 4. Amen? All right, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Remember, I told you verses 4 through 8 are an overview, okay? Seven spirits, we see that all throughout the book of Revelation. All right, here we go. Verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a, what's the next two words? Faithful witness. Let's turn to Revelation. Just flip over chapter 3 and verse 14. Revelation 3, 14. Revelation 3, 14. The word of God says, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Okay, look at this, brothers and sisters. We read that when we read Revelation, it has a part to play in the development of our character, amen? Does anybody know or have you ever heard of a character witness? When the word character witness comes to mind, what else comes to mind? The courtroom, right? The courthouse. We are in a time of what right now? Do we need to be good character witnesses? Yes. We do, don't we? So do we need to understand the book of Revelation? Yes, because we need to understand the players, the principles, and what is going on in this book. But we just found out, now get this, growing up, I used to really love like good, and some of you probably still do, good detective movies and movies that made you think, amen? Doesn't Revelation remind you of something like that, like investigation? You really got to go through it, and you got to go back, and you got to go forth, and you got to be very methodical about it. Another thing, I used to love watching Indiana Jones. I was the black Indiana Jones in my house, you know? I was the black Indiana Jones. Man, I'm going, me and my brothers be in the backyard and in the front yard digging up, looking for dinosaur bones. Lord have mercy. We looking for dinosaur bones in the hood, y'all. We found plenty of chicken bones. Brother ain't never found no dinosaur bones, though. Never found no dinosaur bones. But we had an intrigue that we wanted to find something, you know what I mean? We wanted to find something. I mean, I'll never forget, I found a baby bird skull, and I was Indiana Jones without the leather jacket. I had a paper bag. I'm telling y'all too much. So here we see right now, brothers and sisters, 4 through 8 is we can see points all throughout these four verses that this is a summary or an overview of what Revelation is talking about. Let's go to a few more if my mind will permit it. Verse 6, it says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's read that one more time. And then made us, what two things? Kings and? Let's go to Revelation 20. Verses 4 through 7. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 7. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 7. Are we there? Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 7. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 7. The Bible says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Isn't that something, how we just left the faithful testimony, and now we see judgment is given to some people, amen? Continue reading. It says, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be the priest of God. They shall be what? Priest of God and of Christ, and shall what? Reign with him what? 1,000 years. And we'll stop right there. Let's go back to chapter 1. So we see that is in harmony what we read in verse 6. Amen. Let's read verse 6 over again. It says, they shall be priests with God, and they shall reign with him, right? Let's read verse 6 over one more time. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and hath made us kings and priests. Did you see it? He has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Let's go there. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. We won't be too much longer, family. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Jesus Christ says himself, he says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So we see, just looking at it from verses 4 through 8, it is an overview of the entire book of Revelation. And as you go through and you begin to break down each word, word for word, you will see it is strode all throughout the book of Revelations. Can you see that? If you can, say amen. Amen. Now, we're going to look at something right now that we won't be able to get in depth into. But let's pick it up in verse 8. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. When you hear Alpha and Omega, what comes to mind? Genesis? What did you say, brother? The alphabet. The alphabet comes to mind with me. What is in the alphabet? Letters. What do we do with letters? We make words. What do we do with words that we make? We put them in sentences. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and... Let's go to Hebrews real quick. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Watch this part. I love this. Brothers and sisters, authors use words to write books. Amen? Watch this. All right. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? So Jesus is the author and finisher of our what? Of our faith. He says, I am the beginning of your faith, and I am the completion of your faith. Amen. Amen. He says, if you hold on to me, I guarantee that I will get you through this, and I will develop your character into the character that I wanted you to have from the very beginning. Because he is the author. Amen. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the ending of our faith. Our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? So he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the builder up of the church. He is the head of the church, brothers and sisters. He is the head of the church. One of the things I preached in KRV 3 weeks ago was something that we had brought out in our Tuesday study. When you read the opening account of Genesis and you see where, what is a woman representing Bible prophecy? So you see when Eve, she is talking to the serpent. And in that context, the serpent is being used by who? The Satan. Now, the serpent in that context, in this context that I'm giving you, represents the preacher. Are you with me? The preacher is being manipulated by the devil. The woman representing the what? Church is listening to the preacher who is the serpent who is getting his material from the devil. The woman who is the church swallows hook, line, and sinker the messages that the servant of the devil is preaching. She then, the woman, the church, takes her messages and gives it to the church members, Adam. Adam, instead of saying that don't sound like God and rejecting what he heard himself, the truth from God, swallows hook, line, and sinker everything that the church says. Somebody should have said, oh, man. He disregards God's word and he listens to the church. And they both were naked. And when judgment comes into the garden, Adam says it was the church's fault. Did y'all catch that? Adam says, God, it was, and not only that, he said, God, it was your church. It was your church. It was, they said they were the remnant. Brothers and sisters, we all must have an individual relationship with God. God is the head of this church. He is the head of this church. He is the head of this church. What Satan did was he flipped things upside down, and now you had Satan as the head, and you had the church as the head, and Adam was taking orders from the church. God says, wait, 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 I have to set things back in order. He said, hey, snake on your belly, you're going to go. Satan, I'm going to crush you under your feet. He says, woman, you're going to give birth in pain, and your desire shall be to your husband. Who is the husband of the church, brothers and sisters? Jesus. God had to come back and put things back in order. The church is never above God, brothers and sisters. Never above God. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is his church. And when he feels like shaking it up, guess what? He can and he will do it. And he will do it. But family, we have to know him for ourselves individually. Amen? We have to know him for ourselves individually. Continuing, we got to end up. So he is the author and finisher of our faith. Going back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. And a brother was waiting to get to this verse. Verse 9. Whew. John, what you got to say for us, brother? What do you got to say to us? He says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I love the fact that John says, he says, listen, I'm suffering just like you. And John tells us why he is suffering. Family, what is John suffering for? He's suffering for the not just the Bible, the word of God, but brothers and sisters, John is suffering for the spirit of prophecy as well. You see, in the last days, you will not only suffer for believing the Bible, but even within the church, if you believe the spirit of prophecy and believe that God has spoken through Ellen G. White, you will suffer for that too. You will suffer for that too. So it wasn't just, so John himself was, John himself was going through tribulation because of the spirit of prophecy in the Bible. Does that sound familiar? Nothing new under the sun, amen? Nothing new up under the sun. You see, God has always had his prophet in his church, amen? And what I thank God for is we can use the word of God to test and see if anyone who calls themselves a prophet, we can test and see if they truly are. Because just like we learn from that analogy in Genesis chapter 3, that the church is not above God, amen? So we go to God to find out. And I always like to throw this in. When it comes to the spirit of prophecy, brothers and sisters, you do know that the Bible is a bunch of letters, right? It wasn't a big book before. So guess what it was? It was a bunch of individual different writings from different authors, amen? A lot of people miss that fact. That they were at one point, it wasn't a Bible like we have. And so they disregard that the Lord does have a prophet on this world because they say, well, those writings aren't a part of this. These writings at one point were never put together, brothers and sisters. They were individual writings, amen? And you had to take them how? By faith, trusting what was previously written. It had to fall in line and harmony with it. So those who dismiss it are failing to think and to consider, amen? Failing to think and to consider that those who will believe this in the last days, you will face persecution because you believe it. God has given us the spirit of prophecy. And I can imagine John, and from what I understand, this was written back sometime around 90 AD, I believe it is. And John was pastoring, they say, in Ephesus. And I can imagine as these letters would go around to the churches, because what would happen was John would write the letter, and then the letter would wind up in the church in Ephesus. And what happened was they would take that letter, and can you imagine them saying, we got a letter in the mail from John. And they're anxious to read it. And after they've read it, they would take it, and they would have some men go, and they would copy the letter. They would make copies of the letter. And those copies would get sent out to the seven churches. The seven churches, when they would get their letters, they would sit down and guess what they would do? They also would make copies of the copies. And brothers and sisters, there are more copies that are found in all of them. The copies that they found are in complete harmony when it comes to the book of Revelation. Isn't that beautiful? That is wonderful. That is wonderful to know. But guess what? This is the spirit of prophecy. But it was not in here at first. It was just independent letters. Didn't you know that? If we sit down and we logically think, many people dismiss the spirit of prophecy and they do not know themselves that the Bible at one point was books of a separation until they came and put them together. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? All it is logical thinking. What does God say? Come now, let us what together? Let us reason together. Let's think about this. Let's think about this. Continuing, brothers and sisters, and we have to finish. It goes on to say, to give you just an overview, verses 10 all the way down to 9 to 10, 9 to 11. Let's read. It says, I, John, who also, excuse me, verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Verse 11, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And brothers and sisters, I wish you could see it here. I have it up here because I wanted you to see it, but it's okay. Now, something I want you to understand. When we read verses 10 through 20, those verses are the whole Bible is for the church, amen? The whole Revelation is for the church. But Jesus specifically says this is for the churches. What I want you to understand is this. Jesus is about to be described. John is about to describe what Jesus is wearing and what he looks like. What Jesus is wearing and what he looks like is what he is saying to each of the churches. Did you hear what I said? Each garment is descriptive of something that God wants them to understand. In fact, when you read verses 10 through 20, when you go into chapter 2 and chapter 3, each church will have something descriptive that is connected with what Jesus is wearing. Did you catch that? I can't give it to you. We'll be here for another hour. To be real, probably longer than that. But go back and read. I don't have chapter 2. My brother Justin has chapter 2. When you read chapters 2 and you read chapters 3, you will see that what Jesus is wearing, why do you think he said, John, write down everything you see and send it to the churches? Because the descriptiveness of what he is wearing ties in with the churches, and he introduces himself with that specification of what he is wearing to that specific church. Isn't that amazing? So that by the time we get to Laodicea, we can understand everything that Jesus is wearing. No wonder Revelation can help do something to our characters in these last days to prepare us for the second coming of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have to stop. But I pray and hope that you took notes because, yes, there will be a quiz next week. And I went slow on purpose because we can go through Revelation chapter 1. You know, it took the Holy Spirit to hold me back from going into chapter 2 and chapter 3 because everybody wants to get to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. That's Laodicea. Family, I pray that this week, Revelation 1 and 2 would be your personal study. And please understand that it is the study of Revelation that the devil will throw a monkey wrench into your study time. He will try to get you not to study it. He will try to get you will get sleepier than you ever slept before. You'll sleep better than you ever slept this week. Why? Because you will put your mind on wanting to study Revelation. Let us pray, family. Father, we want to say thank you for your word. We want to say thank you for your truth. Lord, Revelation, it is your book. It is you revealing and a revealing of you. I pray, Father, that we all with a willing heart and a desire to continually walk according to thy precepts and thy statutes, would begin to study your word. Father, it is the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, and I pray that the Spirit would be with each and every one of us. The things that we have read and that we have heard and that we have spoke about are nothing new.